And away we go. It is a Friday morning, Friday, October the 3rd, 2025, 11 minutes past the hour here. We're joined, as we are each and every Friday, at 11:15 a.m. by Pastor Steve Whitaker. Always a pleasure to have him with us. Pastor Whitaker, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. Good to be here today. Another beautiful day. I hear next week we could hit some 66 degree weather.
That's what they're saying.
You know what? I don't mind. I'm ready for it. Hey, I want to share a couple things. This weekend, Sunday at 3:30, we'll begin our annual Day in the Park at Prospect Park that the church does every year. We will have... this year, we're going to do something different. We're going to have chicken and noodles. We've not done that before, but it's chicken and noodles. We'll have games and music and just a really, really fun time. I just went and picked up several bushels of apples. We're going to be pressing hard cider there, and we always make apple butter. Just fun stuff. We have bounce houses coming in. Be a great day. It's all free. It's at Prospect Park from 3:30 to 6:30. And then... before that, this is really kind of nice. It just worked out this way this year. At noon at the Battle Run Fire Department, which is right next to the park, or will be, at noon is the annual open house at the fire department. And they will have life flight landing. They'll have plenty of fun stuff for the kids. I think they're having chili and hot dogs. I mean, so you can go at noon and go there. They're done at 4, but you literally can migrate over and make a whole day out of it, and it doesn't cost anyone a dime, and you can feed your kids, and they can have a great time, and it's just going to really be a neat thing.
You know, it's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up, because somebody this week, one of our listeners in Prospect, called me and wanted us to have some representatives on from the Prospect Park to talk about the levy that's coming up. November.
Yes, I just put a sign in my yard last
yes,
night.
Yes, so we will have them on. I should mention, I believe, October 17th they'll be on the show.
Was
so
it Deb?
That'll be good.
Deb?
Who did call me? I wrote down the name. It might have been Deb. I think it was.
I bet it was.
Yeah, but...
anyway, you know, I was going to tell you about that a little bit. One thing very... Prospect Park is one of the most beautiful parks anywhere, and it's just inviting. It's wonderful. It's well taken care of. The baseball diamonds, of course, we've had Major League umpires that have taken over a big part of that.
And he'll be here that day?
Yep, and so anyway, one thing about Prospect Park that most people don't realize is they have not asked for any money for a long time. And they haven't wanted to ask for money, but it gets so expensive to run that. And I know as the church, you know, we decided a couple of years ago, of course, we use the park for our annual day in the park. But we decided a couple of years ago we were going to help support the park a little bit, and I hope others do too, because that park, this is a situation, you know, I see levies all the time that some are like, we could really cut. Do we really need that? Not this one. This levy is needed. And the money's going to go where they say it's going to go, and it's going to be used to keep that park as beautiful as it's always been.
Do you think it'll pass?
Yeah, I think it will. I hope it will. I that's one levy I really, really hope does pass. And I think that, you know, this is kind of a bipartisan thing. This isn't political, and I think everyone loves the park. So,
you know, I thought that, too. We had a parks levy last year here in Marion that failed.
Well.
I was shocked. I couldn't believe it.
Well, I pray that it doesn't, because everyone in town, there's very few people that don't use that park, because it has a beautiful running track around it. It's got disc golf. This is stuff that's open to people all the time. You can go sit in the shelter houses anytime. It's just, that we have our annual 4th of July there. It's just really, really neat place. So I think I encourage people to please vote yes on that levy.
You know, it's interesting because when I was talking to the Marion Parks Department last year, they were talking about how they needed to make cuts and how bare bones they were running, and that's why they needed this. And it was very, very low, the money that they were getting. And I don't think they ever had put anything on the ballot. And the fascinating thing to me was, I think these groups make cuts so they don't have to cut services when something doesn't pass. You know, maybe if they made the cuts... it might pass, because people don't want to lose the services.
No. Yeah. Well, I've got to... there's something I wanted to do those announcements, and then there's something I kind of like to talk about today.
All right.
It could be controversial. It might not. It should be a very much a non-political issue completely. It really should be. And I think that it may ruffle feathers, I want to talk about common sense and decency. And where I'm going to go with that is not language, it's not... talk show host or none of that stuff. I want to talk about a pretty serious subject, and it's something I think we all should be able to come to agreement on, because the damage it does to people mentally, personally, and to children especially, and we're seeing a lot of that lately. In the last few days, I've seen on the news, or in the newspapers, I should say, and on social media, that we've had several convictions for child molestation. One man from Richwood got, 7 life terms, I think I saw. There's a man that's going to be sentenced that was from outside a Prospect that lived way outside. He was in Prospect Township. I think they're expecting him to probably get 2 life terms. And then we have the Kyle Knickel story. And, you know, Kyle will never see the light of day. And what I want to talk about today is pornography and the effect that it has on people. And why we should come together and say, you know what, for the sake of decency, we can come together on this issue. I have listened to Ted Bundy, for instance. Ted Bundy said his whole messed up mind began with pornography. And so many of those serial killers that involve sex do. They'll say that's what it started with. The hard thing with pornography is that just about anything you do, you can stop doing. Think about it. You know what I mean? But the problem with pornography is it's an image in your brain. And even if you decide, I don't want to do this anymore, it's hard to get rid of that image. I can think of a dirty image that I saw when I was 5 years old. It's still in my brain. It doesn't go anywhere. And the other problem with pornography, and that one of the other problems with pornography is that it's one of those things that it causes the release of certain endorphins, and it causes certain emotional responses. The problem is, as you continue down that road, they become dulled, and you need to step it up a notch. And be dulled, and you have to step it up a notch. Dulled and step it up a notch. And the problem is, once people get into pornography and that becomes part of their lifestyle, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And I truly believe the effect of it is so apparent today in all of the sexual crime, lewd, disgusting sexual crime that we see today, especially involving children. It's getting worse and worse. And I'm going to talk about something, and I'm probably going to make some enemies over this one, but I want to share some firsthand information that I have. I hope I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Excuse me. There was a young man that I knew as he was growing up that was very slow. You know what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. Very slow. One of the kindest-hearted kids you'd ever meet. Very shy, very backward, but just a sweet kid. And you could tell talking to him, he just was very impressionable and kind and sweet. His name was Kyle Knickel. And Kyle used to, the family started coming to church at our church years ago. And it was because I don't remember. I think they might have first came to the pantry at the church at one time. And we invited them. And then the kids started coming to our kids' programs. And then they noticed that their grandparents' names were on the windows in our church and that kind of thing. And they start coming. But as I began to talk about some hard subjects over the next couple of years, they pulled away. And one of those hard subjects was pornography. And some things that are secondhand information, a lot of them I won't get into, but the amount of pornography in that home was unbelievable. And the oldest daughter shared with me when she left home at 18 that she did it because she had been messed with most of her life. Kyle's uncle, who passed away a year ago. I love the guy. He'd do anything for anybody. Single guy. He was kind of slow too. Never married, but he was getting ready. His wife. He was briefly married, and he was going to have his first child. And he came to me, and he said, Pastor Steve, I got to talk to you, and I can share this, and because he's passed, and I'm sure at this point he wouldn't mind. He said, I can't let my mom or my sister or my family ever around my daughter. And I said, why? He said, I've never told anyone this before. He said, the whole time that I grew up, my sisters molested me badly. Well, one of those sisters was Kyle's mother that he didn't live with, but he spent summers with her. I'm not going to say that anything ever happened there, but I'm saying what I was told happened to his uncle when she was in. But the point I'm trying to make is, I hope I'm not stepping over my bounds. Am I okay?
No, you're fine.
Another time, I remember the stepmother came to me and was concerned that she was babysitting a little girl. And the little girl, she was worried, what should she do? Her mom was going to be upset. The little girl walked in on a couple of, a family member and a friend in the shower together that were two ladies. And the lady was married to the husband that was sitting downstairs. And she was concerned, what do I do? She said, you know, I'm afraid this mom's going to be upset. And I only share those things to share that there was a lot more going on in that child's life growing up than anyone realizes. And I have other things that I won't even get into. I don't want to get into. I didn't want to get into that. But I think it's important. And, you know, I know that I have talked to investigative people. I've talked to the sheriff's department at one point. And, you know, they can't do anything unless they have proof. The only way Kyle ever got caught was he was online and he was flagged for being on a site that was promoting child pornography. So that gave them the ability to come in and raid the house. Kyle had never thrown away any of his old phones, so all the information was still on him. He had thousands, literally, honestly, thousands of videos. But what I'm saying is, when you grow up in a culture like that, it's not so abnormal that that would happen, especially when you're someone that's young, impressionable, and maybe can't discern as well as other people do. Now, while I say this, I think, you know, there is no excuse, not even an iota of excuse for what Kyle did. It's sickening. But what I'm saying is, we have to understand there's things that lead up to this. I don't think that most people start out life saying, I'm going to be a pedophile and I'm going to have sex with little babies. I don't think that. A lot of it becomes exposure and then a hardening or what callousness that comes with it. And I think that I understand the whole free speech issue, but let's talk about decency. You know, and I understand freedom of the press and all that kind of stuff. Let's just talk about what's really good and what's really not good for our country. You know, we don't allow pornography in the school. Why not? Why not? You know, they say that, well, they don't put anything bad on TV until after 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. Tell me what kids aren't still up at 9 o'clock today. And the stuff that I see, I love some of the crime dramas and stuff. And you can't watch a crime drama with someone just going crazy and having mad, passionate sex with the person they go out with that night. And if you're a young person and you're watching that, you're thinking, well, that's norm. That's, wow, that would be cool. Maybe, my 13-year-old, you know, I want, you know, and I think that it just pushes us to a thought process that maybe our minds aren't even ready for as young people. That mind isn't maturely developed enough to think right. And it really bothers me the level of acceptance there is in this country of lewd pornography. What's your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting because I honestly, I've never ran into somebody. The people, the pornographers, the people who put it out there, they don't even like being called pornographers.
They are.
Right, but they don't like being called that. And now they're the ones using free speech. I have never met somebody who wasn't in that business who thought that was free speech. Now that's what the people who try to sell it, now they'll lay on that. But I've never met somebody who was, and it does, unfortunately, because that it's the Supreme Court has said it, you can't define it. So
right.
Because you can't define it, then it is what it is. And then they also will say actors are actors, and if, you know, people can't understand the difference between acting and reality, then there's already a big problem. And I think the other problem is, and it's awful, but it is true, anytime you have a movie or anytime you have a television show that has one of these big sex scenes that you're talking about, guess what? Ratings through the roof.
I know it. Because pornography and sex is addicting. Whether anyone says so or not, it truly, truly is. And ask people that have been caught up in it and have gotten away from it, and they will tell you over and over again, stay as far from it as you can. People that have been convicted of crimes, and I think that what happens is that, Scripture calls it, God giving people over to a debased mind because they just won't get out of the gutter. And I think that I understand decisions. I understand rights. I understand what the Supreme Court says. Those are all, okay, what I'm appealing to here today is I'm appealing to you and me and Matt sitting here. I'm appealing to everyone that's listening to this to set your own personal standard for what you're allowed in your life, guard what is allowed in your children's lives, and realize this is a very, very damaging thing, especially to immature or immature minds or people that maybe don't have the mental capacity to make solid judgment. Like I think in the case of Kyle. I think Kyle saw so much, he was around so much, and I'm sure it snowballed. And I'm making no excuses. I'll take a next step further, and I believe this too. I think for those people, for the mental torture they're probably in, and certainly for what they've done, a child, unless they're very, very young, never gets this out of their mind. And in many cases, it affects them for the rest of their life. It makes them unable to have normal relationships. It makes them fear people. There's things I won't get into that I know a lot about that I don't want to just, we don't have the time or the depth for it right now. But I think that, in death penalty cases, I don't think there's rehabilitation for these people. Their minds have gone to the point that they can't get what they've done in their thoughts. It'll never leave their mind. Now, is there redemption for them? Yeah, I would think so. But it doesn't mean the mind isn't damaged. A lot of people say, well, Pastor, you don't sound very good because someone can repent of their sin and give their life to the Lord and they're forgiven. And I believe that. But at the same time, if I go out, if I'm drunk, which I shouldn't be, but say I'm drunk or whatever, and I go out and I hit a tree and my arm gets ripped off at the shoulder. And a week later, I'm sitting there in church service and someone is saying, well, you need to change your life, you need to repent of your sin, you need to come to Christ, and you do. And he does change your life, and you stop being that person that you were. Guess what? Your arm ain't going to grow back. There's consequences. And what I'm saying is that in the case of deep pornography, your mind is damaged goods. Your mind is like any other part of your body. You know that. I mean, I've had friends that were hard drug users when they were young. And even though they've gotten their act together, man, they're cooked. You know what I mean? You've met those people. We used to call them crispy critters. I mean, their mind just isn't where it used to be. So it's kind of the same thing. And I think that, for someone, Kyle's 24, I think. I've known him since he was a little boy. He's going to sit in prison. If he lives, he'll sit in prison for the next 50, 60 years. Why? Why are we going to pay for him to sit in prison for the next 50, 60 years? First of all, because of the crimes that he committed and where he is, you know what they're going to do with him in prison. That's going to be no life for anyone anyway. And I look at that and I think that, I look at these older men that were just convicted that we saw. The one guy, he's 60. Five, I think, got 7 life terms. That's one area where I can see the death penalty. I really can. I mean, put an end to this. This is somebody, the child's lives, and some of them, that weren't that young, that they've destroyed their minds. I don't see any rehabilitation in that or in those people. And why we would That's just how I feel. But I guess maybe I shouldn't have gone down that road, because I don't want this to become a death penalty argument. My point is, what I'm trying to make today is that, and I appeal to everyone out there, I don't care if you're far left liberal, I don't care if you're far right Republican, in the middle, up and down, don't vote, don't care, I don't care. What I'm saying is, we can all come together for the sake of common decency. And even though the law says this is permitted, we can say, you know what, I think that silly little pastor's right. This is something that damages your mind, and it's not good for our children, or even for us. Let's put it out of our home and away from us. We could do that. I mean, we can have common decency in this country. We don't always have to do something because the law says it's okay. You know, it bothers me that I can be on social media. All I got to do is bump the wrong thing that I don't realize what I'm bopping it. Something lewd pops up, and I got to immediately block it. And, you know, even in the case, you know, I don't want to see that stuff. I don't want it to pop up. It makes me ill. Another thing that bothers me about pornography is most of the time it really involves women. Women are the main thing people want to see. Isn't that awfully degrading to women, that instead of their personal qualities and their intelligence and who they are that we admire, we're looking at them as nothing but a sex object? I would think that the women in this country would be irate over lewd pornography. I really do, because it really takes a woman and degrades her in her own mind, whether she realizes it or not. She begins to think of herself as nothing more than a sex object. And then she, what else, you, to get to the point where you say, what else have I got but my body, is a sad place to be. Because God makes everyone very special and for a special purpose. And he loves them equally. And to realize, to think for 1 minute that our only purpose is something lewd and dirty is heartbreaking. To me, it very much is. So I would expect women that stand up for women's rights, and they would be on this bandwagon too, saying, yeah, you have the right to go do that. But come on, man, this is something we shouldn't be doing. You know, we have the right to do all kinds of negative things, but there are certain things that we will say, you know, as a society, we're not going there. And there are certain things we've allowed in. I'm saying that it is destroying the fabric of our country. I was at a pastor's conference one time, and the pastor, it was for men, and we were doing some three-on-three basketball and some stuff like that. The pastor was talking, and he shared with everyone there that he started down that road. Couple images popped up. He looked at it, and then it was a couple more. Before he knew it, he was, this guy's this preaching in a pulpit, right? And that's how addictive this stuff is and enticing. I mean, they're your men, right? So this guy got to the point where he not only had to confess it to his church, he had to confess it to his wife. He felt that he really needed to do that. He went to a counselor and actually made a rule in his house. They had one computer, and it sat in the living room, and anybody could see what anybody was doing on it. And so my point is, this affects everyone, and it never... Give me an example where pornography has ever helped anybody. I don't feel that it has, but it's become such a vital part of our country. And I just want to read a passage real quick, if I could, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. In Mark, we read the words of Jesus. In verse 18, he says, "So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?" He's talking about food here. Then he said, "What comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile man." So we all have that ability within us. We really do, to go down those roads. If we're going to go somewhere, the mind will run with it. I am very blessed to be a person that I have always found pornography as itself very disgusting, because I just think it's very degrading, and I believe that beauty is you know, that's skin deep beauty. You know, beauty's from within. And I don't like it, but I know other people that struggle with it, have struggled with it. And it's just something damaging, and I think that it really damages people. And if the Supreme Court rules that it's okay, and everyone, you know, I have a right to sell these magazines and all that stuff, it doesn't mean we have to do it, Scott. And I'm going to let you have about 10 minutes. I've talked too much.
Well, no, it's interesting because it's a complicated subject for a lot of reasons, because we're talking about Kyle Kinickel here. Now, the reason people will know that name is because of what he did. There are people who do good deeds all day long who will never get the name recognition in this area that he has simply because of the awful thing that he did. And that's unfortunately the way it goes when you do a bad thing. Also, press releases that are put out, we've had this discussion on this station because we're news, press releases that have been put out from prosecutors' offices in regard to this, not murder, not theft or anything like that, but in regard to rape or pornography or pedophilia, are getting much more graphic. The press releases are getting graphic. Now, these are the people who have prosecuted these people and got these big convictions, and they're sending out to the news stations words that you're even questioning if you can say in a polite newscast.
They shouldn't do it.
No, but they do it.
But they shouldn't do it.
But we're getting closer
to that
now. You know
what people want to know? What did he really do?
Exactly.
What did he do? How bad was it?
And I keep thinking,
are you kidding me?
As somebody who did newscasts for a long time, I keep thinking, I don't need to hear those words. I get what they're charged with. I got it.
You got it.
I don't need to hear everything they did. Mm-hmm. But I understand news people who do it because it's in the press release. They put it right in there. Why would you do that in a press release? That's that subject. Now, when it comes to people in general, it's an interesting thing to this degree, because I don't even think the Supreme Court is all that big in this issue anymore because of
it's
the internet.
It's been settled.
Well, the internet.
Yeah.
The internet, you know,
they
is not
it's
under...
Settled, yeah.
So, the problem here is, when it comes to women in general, and women have always been the main focus of pornography, is that, okay, now, chances are most people in their life have seen a naked woman. It's happened somewhere along the line.
Somewhere along the line.
Yeah, maybe by Matt. We hope. But, you know, the thing of it is that you've seen that, and you know, sometimes that's in the privacy of your own bedroom, and that's
and
what
it should be.
And it should be. But here becomes the problem, is that, you know, you're at the beach, and there were only about, you know, three things covered up, and everything else is hanging out there on the beach, and people will now post that on social media. Now, that's very enticing to a lot of people.
It is, but it very much is, and, you know, we've kind of gone, you know, when I was a little kid, and I go to the beach, nobody was wearing a thong.
There you go.
Nobody. And we've gone, I personally believe we've gone way too far there. I mean, it freaks me out. I mean, yeah, I just don't get it.
Not just to take it, but to post it.
To post it. But anyway, yeah, I get that. And I think we've just sexualized so much. It has to be in everything because they know ratings go up, right?
But we and I just want to say this, and I want you to come back in because this is an interesting point to me, and I've told this story before on the air. And, you know, I'm not judging this because it's a husband and a wife. But I saw the wife, I guess, had a good body, okay, in a bikini.
Mm-hmm.
The husband took the picture, and the husband posted it and said, "Look at my beautiful wife."
That's insane.
Figure that out for me.
Well, you know, as a pastor, I got to go back to the Bible, and the Bible says that stuff to be kept private between you and your husband in your own bedroom. Now, interestingly enough, I'll tell you, sex seems to be a precursor to everything we talk about. I'll give you a good example. I was watching one of the Charlie Kirk clips, and a young guy comes up, and he says, "Charlie," he said, "I am a homosexual conservative, and I've got questions on this." Charlie stopped him for a minute. He said, "You know, wait a minute. You said you were a conservative, right?" And he said, "Yeah." You go, "Okay, you're a conservative." He said, "Why did you have to preface that with homosexual?" He said, "Can't you keep your sex life in the bedroom?" And he said, you know, that's the problem we have today. Everybody wants to bring their sex life out in public, and sex was always meant to stay in the bedroom. Now, he said, if you tell me you're conservative, I welcome you to the conservative party. What you do in your bedroom, well, you know, you deal with that yourself, but I don't want to know it. I don't want to know what you do in your bedroom. And, you know, if I sit down and I say, and I start a job, you know, I'm not going to say, well, I just want to let you know that I'm a homosexual architect. No, you're an architect. Leave the bedroom out of it. And you know, or I'm a straight. Do I start someone and say, well, I just want you to know I'm a straight pastor. What kind of, and that's my whole point. Leave the sexual stuff in the bedroom. It's not something, why are you telling everyone, you wear it like a badge? We were never meant to wear our sexuality like a badge. I saw somebody post something a while back, and it caused a bit of a stir because I said, you know, posted a picture of their wife in a very lewd way, and it appeared to be lewd, and said, oh, I'm such a blessed person. Good for you. I didn't need to see that. You know, and my point is, and it's trickled down to kids so much. I remember my daughter, Lauren, bless her heart, she's 24 now and has getting ready to have her second baby and a granddaughter, Lauren, in a couple of weeks. I remember when she was about 10 years old, my daughter, Kelly, came in. She was really upset one night, I mean, literally upset. And she said, I don't know what to do. She said, I went shopping for Lauren for fifth grade, and I couldn't find anything that wasn't the bare, you know, like those low riding pants and the clothes. She said, this is a 10-year-old girl, and they're designing clothes to show everything she, you know what I mean? And it's like, why? Why? Okay, so the only way you get around that is for the decent mothers in the world. Don't worry about, oh, my daughter's got to look stylish. Why? So somebody can troll after her? You know, my point is, okay, you know what Lauren did? Or her mother did? She went to the boys' section and bought boys' pants. And you know what? She was just as popular as she was the year before. My point is, you don't have to do that. You don't have to. And kids have become so desensitized. Kids have become so desensitized to the beauty of sex. Sex is a beautiful thing, and it was always meant to be a beautiful thing. You know, when you've got kids that are in high school that just hook up, they call it hooking up, you know. Going out on a date, you're expected to do something. I know that my grandson's struggling with this. I got a couple of single grandsons that are adults now, and we've had a conversation, and they just tell me, you know, my word, you know, I don't want to date somebody that's been with half the world, and at the same time, with their attitude towards sex, how do I know they're not going to go out on me in 2 weeks? And I want someone that's I can be with the rest of my life. And but because of the attitude of sex, that's what's out there. You can't trust anyone. And it's you know that I'm not blanketing everyone when I say that.
Right.
But it's I should say it's hard to trust people to think they're not going to do that. And they really struggle with you know, I don't want to start a relationship with somebody and really fall for this person, and then find out that they're just in it for a short period fling. But this has to start at the home. I would have to say this. It has to start in the home. Mom and Dad have to, first of all, explain to you that sex is a privilege of, and what surrounds that is the privilege and the good thing that it is. And Mom and Dad have to tell you that this is not good. This is lewdness. It's wrong. It'll destroy your mind. And, oh, come on, Dad, it looks great. No, you, listen, it is something like a cancer that gets in your mind and gets worse and worse and worse. You can prove that. That's provable, you know. Just talk to anybody that has done very lewd sex acts in prison right now. And as I started out the show with, it starts out at home. Now, I'm not saying that it starts out like sometimes kids started out sneaking it at home, right? Parents don't know. But guard what's on, put locks on that computer, put locks on stuff, because believe me, they will go there. So, I don't know. Do we get any comments when we do this? I don't see anything.
Oh, yeah, we got a call right here. Matter of fact, if you want to take the call,
I'll be glad to.
I'll put the headphones on and we'll go to the caller.
It depends on who it is.
I don't know who it is, actually, so we'll have to see here.
All right.
Here's your headphones, Pastor. Oh, are those the ones that aren't hooked up? Yeah, let's choose the ones that are hooked up or we're really going to have trouble. All right. Go ahead, caller.
I agree with you that pornography, and you didn't gloss, you didn't mention video games. You know, there's people that spend hours,
it's all part of
hours,
it. Absolutely.
You know, on that computer.
Absolutely. It's all part
and
of it.
There's a lot of bad things that they can get, you know.
Yeah, I remember when...
I can lead their mind to a bad way.
I remember when Grand Theft Auto was the big one that parents were worried about because it was so violent. And I remember that, you know, you had to be 18 to buy it, but I knew so many parents that went out and bought it because the kid asked for it. And so what good does it do to have age limits on stuff if the parents allow it? I knew a girl one time...
Video games and, you know, worse than that these days.
I knew a young lady one time that she worked as a stripper in down by the airport in Columbus. Made a lot of money. It was really odd because we were talking one day. I knew her boyfriend worked for me. And she told me that, you know, when she grew up, they had pornographic magazines laying everywhere. The family walked around the house naked. And it was just normal for her to be that way. But then the things it brought into the home, you know, and I think, how can that be normal? I don't understand that. But I guess what I'm saying is, yeah, video games one too, but you have to be proactive as a parent or a guardian. You really do. And say, not in my house. It's not that hard to do. I watched my children do it with their kids. I watched them guard what they have on social media. They didn't even let them have phones till they were 14 or 15. When they started doing sports, they needed to get a hold of them. But then they watched what they did, and it really isn't that hard. You know, you're not going to damage your kids by not letting them see things that will damage them.
Hey, caller, I appreciate it.
Parents don't have the technical ability to keep a good eye on their child, or they, you know, with the phone, or they just don't care.
Well, there's
and
where you gotta go. Is do they
tell
care?
Girls that they love them when they really don't, just telling them something they want to hear.
Hey, look, I've seen people when they want to get a difficult benefit.
Bad. But another point I want to make is: are you glorifying Charlie Kirk?
Am I glor? No.
Okay. And then another thing I want to say: you voted for Trump, right?
I don't know. Did I?
Because of the abortion issue.
No.
But he's our pedophile in chief.
Oh,
and
he is.
You're talking a lot about, you know, these young girls getting, you know, raped and molested and these... Well, you sold yourself out, didn't you? You voted for a pedophile. You knew all along how that man was.
Well, now, thank you for calling, and we'll move on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, my.
Well,
the thing is, you know, accusations are out there of everyone. Until we have proof, I don't comment on them. And sometimes, you know, there were a lot of accusations made on the other side, too. So what are you going to believe? I think it's what you choose to believe. And my point, I think the caller missed my point. My point was, as parents, we need to guard our children against this kind of stuff and what it does to you. I am not a judge of Donald Trump or of Joe Biden or any of those. I don't know the truth, and I don't think any of us sitting in this room do, because the fact is that there's so much that's put out there. How do you truly decipher it? And you know, I talked to a guy the other day, for crying out loud, Scott. The conspiracy theories out there on both sides of the coin are nuts, and people will actually listen to it. You know what a guy told me the other day? I couldn't believe this. Where are we at on time-wise, anyway?
We got about 10.
This guy told me that we were on the wrong side. Now, this guy has the real insight because he follows these crazies, and he said we were on the wrong side with Hitler, because the reason the Hitler took all the Jews and did what he did is because the Jews were infiltrating Germany with pedophiles. I thought, have you lost your ever-loving mind?
Well, see, isn't this the problem, though? Because, I mean, here's the thing. Unless you... We make assumptions all the time, but we treat them as fact. We treat them as fact. And here's a problem.
I don't know.
Well, here's the thing, and it's okay to say that. You know, last week we were having the discussion on the show about, who is of what political party. What was interesting earlier, because I did an hour pretty heavy on the Democrats earlier on today, and I said, but nobody ever hears this hour, apparently, because, you know, nobody will ever listen back to this and pay attention to what I'm saying here, because the comment was made, boy, you know, they're not going to like what you're saying now. And I said, well, you know, I said, the only people who apparently, I said a lot of the conservatives like to think that I'm Democrats, and the only people who don't believe I'm a Democrat are the Democrats. Mm-hmm. So people make assumptions. Unless you absolutely know somebody is something or has done something, you should not make that assumption until you get the whole picture.
This guy didn't know that I probably might be a libertarian.
You might be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people make assumptions, but the conspiracy theories out there just blow my mind. I've got one friend that I can't even listen to him anymore. He is literally off his rocker from watching this stuff. And you can go as deep as you want to go. It's just like pornography. If you want to start down that conspiracy highway, it'll take you as deep and far as you want to go, because they're just nuts.
You know, I want to come back to this pornography issue for a second, though, because one thing you were saying there that I thought is very interesting is that, okay, we talk a lot on this show about constant marriages. People get married a lot now, you know, and before they're 50, there are people 3-4 times married. Now, a lot of time light is made of that because you keep getting divorced. But, you know, there is an underlying current here that the difference between a friendship and a relationship, which turns into a marriage, I assume you're being intimate at some point with your husband or wife.
Right.
Okay, so at like number 4 or number 3, there's been a few people in your life.
Right.
Now, who is to judge? Whoever. But this is one of the things with that at some point you got to say, is this maybe why these marriages are coming and going, you know?
We've had the discussion a couple of years
ago. It is, but isn't it odd?
It is odd, and you know, the thing that we miss today in marriage, I want to jump somewhere else, but let me finish that statement. The thing that we miss today in marriage, that, you know, if you look at marriage biblically, it is a covenant commitment. In other words, you commit to that person for life. You know, whatever it is, you can learn to love someone. You really can, through that commitment and love to each other. And then, you know, look, if marriage is all about sex, it ain't gonna last, because that person can get ugly in about a year. And I don't mean to look at. I mean,
personality.
And you can say, well, you know, I don't even want to have a relationship, and especially an intimacy with this person anymore. And you start looking somewhere else. It's got to be about something much higher than that. But one thing I did want to say about what I've said today is, I know that I'm going to take some heat for maybe people that know me, that know I'm a pastor, and say, Pastor, you shouldn't have gone down that road about somebody that's in our community. And what I have to say is, no, I should go down that road, because we all should be going down that road. We should be protecting people in our community and being honest about what's going on. And, you know, I would never say things that I didn't know for a fact to be. And because it is a fact, I think, hey, look, kids, don't go near that place. Kids, you know what I mean? And because right now the way it is, yeah, they so could. They could, you know, just like they did before. And nothing has changed there. And my point is that you know, I love everyone in the community, but you know what? If there's a cancer, sometimes you got to root it out.
Well, you know, here's an interesting thing. Okay, back to the internet again, or back to television, whatever medium you want. Okay, how many times do you see people say, look at my beautiful wife. Look at my cute son. Look at my cute daughter. Look, homecoming season was just here.
Oh my.
Look at my beautiful daughter. Whoa. Look at this and look at that. Okay, but now when's the last time you saw a picture? Look at my brilliant son. Look at my smart daughter. Look at, even athletics don't fall that way anymore. We're more commenting on the outfit than we are on the athletics.
I'll take one a step further. People always talk about what you're going to do when you get out of high school. And when it comes to Christian families and they say that, I really hope that I hear the child say, I don't know for sure exactly where I'm going to go eventually or what I'm going to do, but I want to be a person of character that follows what God wants in my life, and I want to be that person so that when that time comes, I'll be ready to do what I do. And we don't. It's all about what things look like. I don't – I'm with you, Scott. I don't –
Gym pictures. People taking pictures in the gym.
Well, we won't go there. Well, maybe that's for another day. Matter of fact, I did something really stupid one time. I was so appalled by something someone was wearing one day, a student, that I took a picture, and I was going to take it in and show the superintendent and say, are you kidding me? And my daughter looked at it and said, do you realize you just took a picture of that on your phone and that makes you the bad guy? So I clicked it and got rid of it real quick. But you know what I mean? I mean, you can't even try to expose something without being called names. And no, I just think that we owe it to our children to give them a better world. And one of the things, I really believe that a pornography-free world is a huge step along the way. We don't have a right to destroy our child's minds with pornography in our own home. I'm sorry, look, I'm a pastor, guys. What do you expect me to believe?
Well, and that's it.
I don't think you have to be a pastor to believe that.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
Or even a Christian.
Well, walk out on the street today and ask anybody if they think pornography is good, and I guarantee you 99% are going to say no.
Then why do we let it be so prevalent?
Because like everything, and maybe this is a big discussion for it started last week, and I think it's an underlying issue in this show, but maybe it's a good discussion for next week, is, you know, what is a line too far? You know, there are certain things people like. Okay, that's fine. You agree with that, you like that. But when is the line crossed? Because, you know, you can find good in just about something and everything. But when do you cross the line? Now, this can be politics. This can be beauty. This can be cereal. You know, this can be your health. This can be food. But when is the line too far? And with the current subject, I wonder, okay, you can be a free speech person, and you can be a do-as-you-want person, not, you know, I'm not going to do it, but you can do it, and you can politically believe whatever. But where is your line too far? Even though I agree with that, what's the line too far?
Let's go all the way back. We got 2 minutes left. Let's all go all the way back to Miss America, okay? Now, they have the talent contest. They have the questions. They are obviously beautiful women. They're judged by beauty is part of it. Why do they have to have a swimsuit contest? What does that tell all the women that could never pull that one off?
Because when they took it away, the ratings went down.
It's all about ratings and money.
Isn't it, though?
And you know, everyone says, well, you know, money's the root of all evil. The Bible never said that. Well, the Bible said the love of money is the root of evil.
But you know what's interesting about this, and this is one of those yin-yang things, and I always say people have to be very careful about this when they do the things they do. When people started to, again, it's totally fine, when people started to pull their money from something like Miss America for fur, remember the fur flap that went on?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't want them wearing real furs anymore, and all these sponsors dropped out and said, until you get rid of the fur, even Bob Barker was the host at that time, said, I'm not going to do the show until you get
big into the Humane Society.
So they money again. Now their picket was with their money. You get rid of those furs, or we're not going to sponsor you. So they did. But now, see, on the flip side, when the ratings went down and the sponsors dropped out because of that, because of the swimsuits, again, it's all money. So anytime you pull your money from something trying to hurt it because you don't like an opinion or you don't like something they're doing, remember, it works the other way, too.
I'm not even talking about pull your money. I'm just saying don't go there.
Oh, I don't know why people watch.
Don't go to something you don't think is right. You know, sometimes I'll be watching something with one of my grandkids on TV, and all of a sudden a scene comes like, whoa, 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 we got to shut this one down.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I don't even want – I'm embarrassed for them to be sitting there. And you know, why don't parents feel that way? Kids begin to think something non-good for them is the norm. There's no reason that a young woman should feel that if they go out on a date, they are expected to have sex with a boy in a car.
There you go.
They should not expect that, but they do, and they're pressured. I've talked to young high school kids. I do all the time. And one girl told me, point blank, it's been about 4 years ago, I know we're done, said, I feel sorry for the girls in this school because of what they're expected to do. And she said, you know who else I feel sorry for? I feel sorry for the guys that if they don't, the guys tease them and call them every name in the book because they're not. Why should we be there? Parents, do your job.
And we'll be back next week, and I'll be back right after this.
Being as many award Emmys, things like that, does that ever factor in?
No, because I say the work is its own reward. You can't decide who's going to give you an award. But if you're doing the work,